This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
Back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Anthony Skip Sylvester in the studio again. I got to keep raining the praise down on him for handling Mother Nature's fury this morning. knocked the power out in the building, knocked other stations off. We were off for a grand total of 6 seconds this morning. Gave us a late start to the show, technical difficulty, but we got on, and then when the power went out again, it was only 6 seconds, and Skip had us right back. So
yeah,
great job, Skip.
I just luck of the draw, I guess.
Joining us as they do every single Thursday for the MGo Blog Roundtable, the crew, my guys, my fellas, my brothers from another mother or from other mothers, of course, starting with Craig Ross. Craig, how are you?
Well, as far as I know, Seth and I may actually have the same mother. I don't know.
I met you through my mom. Do you remember this? That's true, many years ago. Yeah.
At a book signing out in West Bloomfield, I think.
Yeah, she was signing her book, you were signing her book, she told oh, my son's a huge, huge Michigan fan. So you right. wrote in your book to Seth, to the greatest skier who in Grove's history, which is actually untrue. I was the worst skier in Grove's history.
What book was it? But I asked your mom what sport you did, because you were just a kid, I think, then.
Yeah, I was young. A high schooler.
And she said, well, he skis. And I said, okay, that's how I signed it.
Greatest I joined the ski team because it was the easiest way to get a varsity jacket. They paid for it, and I could just go skiing every day. I was like, this is great.
So what was the book? What was the book?
It was my first book, Obscene Diaries of a Michigan Fan.
Yeah.
Which, if anybody is interested in and they can find my house, I'll be glad to give them one. And I'll personalize it any way they want, and I won't charge them anything for it, because I still do put a couple few every year into Literati, and they don't complain that I come in, and as opposed to stealing books, I actually put books into their inventory, and they
you should
seem
write to the greatest skier in Grove's history in there. It'll be exactly as true as it was when you gave it to me.
That's right. Then in any event, Skip had his problems this morning. Congrats.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was the state. It was the station. It was the station group. It was Ann Arbor. I mean, a lot of people were lost power this morning. So,
but I woke up with a flooded basement. This part of Ann Arbor tends to flood. The storm sewers backed up. We're theoretically disconnected from the city sewers, but it never seems to really work right. And so I'm sitting in water right now in my basement. So if I'm electrocuted and something weird happens, you know, that's what it is. My wife, thankfully, is around here mopping and cleaning up the messes. So it's a hard morning for everyone.
Question from the crowd as we stream across YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Brian Birchmeyer says, Craig, we still can't find your Twitter account. So how are you supposed to find your house?
Hey, I think I'm easy to find. You can Google me. I've got a law practice, a software business. All you got to do is Google me, give me a phone call. I'll be glad to, or don't even give me a phone call. Just show up. I've made 3 or 4 good friends who just showed up at my doorstep saying, hey, I want that book as long as it's free. And I said, okay. And a couple of those people have become good friends of mine.
Gotcha.
So,
all right. Well, let's dive into some football talk. I want to visit a question, guys, that I hit with Mike Spath I guess that was yesterday, where every year we go into it looking for who's going to be that player that steps up, who's going to be that player that breaks out. Let's remove quarterback from this discussion for a moment and ponder this question. And we'll start with you, Craig. Who do you think that player will be, based on some of the rumblings you've heard, be it out of the spring and out of the summer? Who's going to be that player that does break out this year? And then maybe a corollary, who does it need to be? Those might be different answers. For Michigan to be successful, who needs to be the breakout player versus who will be the breakout player? Who would those players be, or are they the same guy for you?
Well, for me, on offense, who I think will break out, and I think I said this in Seth's Hail to the Victors, which I assume will be out pretty soon, is I think on offense, Eric Aull. And Seth, I think, recently did
UFR?
UFR.
Yeah,
a UFR. And I was heartened to see that Aull graded out really well in that UFR and his blocking. He didn't have a great receiving year, but I think in high school he was a good receiver. And so I'm going to say on offense, it's got to be Eric, or I think it will be Eric Aull, who I think really might have a good year. Who needs to step up on offense, of course, is whoever's playing quarterback. And I assume that's Cade McNamara. That's who needs to step up, because truly there are weapons on this offense, if the quarterback play is good. On defense, who needs to step up is Mazi Smith. That's got to be if they're going to go to this 5-2, and I assume they are, they got to have somebody at the point of attack who, can hold his own. And so it really needs to be him, in my opinion, who I think might step up. I'm gonna take a flyer just be on rumors that I've been hearing is Junior Colson. I think Junior Colson, even though he's probably not a starter, by the end of the year will be playing a lot and will be a serious player on this defense. What do you think, Seth?
Well, first of all, I think that Hail to the Victors is available. You can get it on digital right now on the if you go to MGo blog and look on the top right there, you can get a the only thing is we don't have the print copies yet. I've been talking to the printer, and I'm going to drive out and meet him as soon as they come off the press, which is probably going to be September 21st, and then we'll stop in Chicago and give a bunch of books out to people in Chicago, and then come here, and then we'll have physical copies. Also, I have a 90,000 word document open right now on my computer, which this week will be a Kindle edition. So if you want Hail to the Victors, you want the greatest preview ever put together at the last minute, you can find it. You can get it right now on the site, and you'll get it on Kindle this week, and then you can also pre-order a copy. If you pre-order it and send me and show me you did that, I might accidentally send you a PDF. Anyway, the things we said in there about like the breakout players, other than quarterback, I think that it needs to be Zach Zinter. I don't know if we talked about this on air or off air last week, Sam, but we definitely are of the same mind that Zach Zinter going to center, if that works, that changes everything, right? Like, that gets your best five guys on the field. I know we're talking offensive line, and this is the most boring thing. Like, go right to the line. But
so consequential. I think it's the biggest thing to me. But go ahead.
Yeah. But we're totally in agreement. Like, I don't think Vastardis has got any more runway, right? I think that he gives you what he's going to give you. And what you got out of him last year is not really that great. Carpenter was past him at the end of the year. So, you get Zinter at center, that lets them put their best five guys on the line. That lets them be really mauling. I know that they're talking about Stuber out at a tackle, but I love the idea of Stuber and Zinter next to each other, mauling people on the inside. That is, 680 pounds together between the two of them? Wow. Man, no one's standing up to that. I don't care if you get a 400-pounder. That guy's not standing up to that.
Yeah, you look good. I agree with you, Seth, 100%. And it's why, of course, we could go quarterback. We could go Cade McNamara. I don't think there's any question. If every position were up, you would say Cade. But we're removing quarterback from the equation for a reason. I want to focus on the other spots. And for me, who I think will step up and who I think needs to step up are the same guy. It is Zach Zinter. And when you hear Josh Gattis say he's the best player on offense, so immediately two thoughts come to mind. And I know some fans are saying, well, he was talking up Joe Milton last year. And that's warranted. That's a relevant, observation to make. I think it highlights their inability to a couple of things, to translate practice to the game field. That was a major issue. That was an issue for Eric Aull, by the way, who they say the guy looks like Superman in practice. He's like Superman in practice again. Can they carry that over to games? So you bring that up with Zach Zinner. And then you're talking about a guy playing a position that he hasn't played before, right? So, I mean,
True sophomore coming off. Like, he was thrown in there as a true freshman in a COVID year. And right. It's like, here, go play, kid. And now you're going to have that guy be your center. I mean, it could definitely not go well.
Right? It could definitely not go well. So I'm throwing all of those qualifiers out there to say, I understand why there may be some skepticism, but when you take a look at why, so he came in, he tested off the charts when he was an early enrollee. He was like 6'6", 325, 5'1", 40. He ran in the mid fours in the shuttle. He was like 31 or 32 bench press reps. This was winter conditioning as an early enrollee. He would just, his testing stats, I think, were eye-popping to them. And it made him be a guy who was beyond the curve as a freshman, being able to get on the football field, even if it was being pressed into duty. He still was able to look better than you would expect most freshmen to look. I also think it was another revelation to see him. I know it was. When I talked to Sharon Moore, I said, did you guys go into the spring thinking, hey, yeah, you know, we're going to try Zach out at, he's going to be in contention at center. He's no, we didn't know what he was going to do at center. Didn't it? He got in there and played. It was like, oh, crap, this dude can play there. Like, he could be a guy there. I think that they are, at least until Gattis said he's the best offensive player on the team, I think they're a little reluctant to, heap too much praise on him. But I think what Gattis is highlighting or displaying the possibility, Seth, because while I agree with you, there, Craig, talking about the importance of Mozzie Smith or Jordan Whitley or the combination of the two up front, you know, on the defensive line, giving them some presence there, assuming for the sake of argument that those two unproven players aren't able to do it. Zach Zinner having some on-field credibility, showing extreme promise in practice on top of that, opening the door to your most athletic line, I think his impact, his growth would be even more consequential, because if they can run the football, they can protect the quarterback, they can protect that defense a little bit too. To me, is Zach Zinner all the way.
Well, one of the things, sorry to keep on going here, but one of the things that I talk about in Halo the Victors a lot is that last year, Michigan was put in passing down situations more than they've ever been before. I think they spent half of their downs in a position where either they were in comeback mode or they were in like third and long or second and long where you had to pass. And like that was part of the problem with Milton. It's just like they could tee off on him, right? And that was the problem with the protection last year, is that half the time when they lined up, they could give up 6 yards and they didn't care, right? Like they needed to get more than 6 yards every single time half the time that they were lining up last year. And you put a true freshman into that. But part of the reason they were in that position in the first place is that they were missing targets, that they were not moving the ball with their run game. They were not executing their actual run game with the reads and stuff. So like Sam says, like if you can get that run game on schedule, every Harbaugh team before this one tried to stay in that kind of like, you know, 30% of the time we're in passing down situations, but the rest of the time we are trying to have short fields, which is a lot less than most teams. So they take fewer risks on first down than most teams in a ideal Harbaugh team. And I'm talking about like the 2016 team, 2018 team, the 2019 team, which had a good offense. Those teams like to stay on schedule, and that's important for how Michigan puts their offense together. Gattis's offense is an on-schedule offense. And Zinter is the kind of guy that gets you there, right? You need to be able to get those 4 or 5 yards on first down if you want to run the offense that Michigan's going to run.
Yeah, man. He took it on his chin a little bit, Craig, where he said, look, I got to stick with it more. Like, I didn't stick with the run game enough. for the precisely for the reason that you said, Seth. I mean, they wound up in these situations where it just down and distance wise wasn't advantageous to run the football. I think his point was, in order to grow the running game, in order to establish a rhythm, in order to get them better, than maybe even in some of those situations, you have more off schedule runs. It may have been maddening to the fans, but maybe it would have been functional as far as their development is concerned.
That's exactly the thing I was going to, the point I was going to bring up. I mean, I think Gattis took some criticism on saying that we have to run the ball more. And everyone's like tearing their hair out, saying run the ball, you know. And I think maybe what he truly meant to say is we got to run the ball better, because if you're behind the change as often as they are, Seth's point becomes completely right. Michigan does have to run the ball better than they did last year, so they're not in those situations. Either that, or they could go completely avant-garde, and you know what I'm going to say, just don't punt. And which I'm waiting for some team to do. Never punt is what I say, and you've changed the game. You got to be a lot better by not having to be better. But nobody's going to do that because they won't last long.
Army did it, and the Army put a big scare in us. They beat Oklahoma. Yeah. Like Army's been doing a lot with that.
Army did it. Yeah.
I was going to say that half of it wasn't their fault, right? Or it was their fault, but like it was so dramatic that they go up against Wisconsin, and in three drives they're down in a 28-3 hole, right? Like, how are you going to run your regular running offense when you need to come back by that much? So it wasn't even just getting behind the chains, and they did get behind the chains. Like Chuck Filiaga would miss an assignment, or Ben Mason of all people was like not blocking the right guy all the time last year. They had some weird breakdowns last year, and that just that compounded with the defensive problems, because they would get in a big hole early. Joe Milton would throw two interceptions in his first three drives, and then they get in a huge hole and you have to pass. So they were not in a situation last year where they could run their offense over half of the time. That's just unheard of, okay? So, you cannot take last year and judge it on anything, especially a true freshman like Zinter, right? You cannot judge that. They were half the time they could not run their offense. So Gattis is saying, we'd rather run the ball more. I think he just means, we need the opportunity to run the ball more.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair construction, but people went all crazy, or a lot of people went all crazy on it, and understandable to some extent, but I don't think that's exactly what he was saying.
So. Yeah, I think the emphasis on physicality and establishing a presence up front, a physical presence up front, and running the football isn't as counter speed and space as people are fearing. It is. I mean, I definitely think they want to emphasize the run more. They want to have it be a more consistent part of their game, but they still want advantageous matchups in the open field and exploiting those. I still think they want to isolate their athletes in space on guys. That's still a part of it. I mean, these two things don't have to be in conflict. They can be complementary pieces, and I think that's another thing, because I sort of pose that question to Gattis. So, what is growing and improving the run game mean? Does it mean that you are changing your identities? No, we actually want to get closer to what we envision our identity being. We didn't run the football like we anticipated we'd be able to. So we want to get on schedule, to your point, Seth, and we'll see if they're able to do that. I find it hard to believe that they won't. It's hard not to be better than they were last year, Seth. I mean, impossible, right?
We got to get to the defense.
I'm talking about for running.
Yeah.
They're going to have more experience up front.
Yeah. No, the whole that do not take anything that they say about moving people as against speed and space. Those are completely different concepts and different ideas. The what they're talking about there is, are you a look at the guard, okay? If you are running an offense with Patrick Omame versus are you running an offense with Andrew Stuber? Okay? Those are completely different players who are going to do completely different things. One guy is going to be comboing a ton, getting around guys, using his agility to use the defensive line's weight against them. And the other guy is going to be using his strength to just move someone out of the way. It accomplishes the same thing. It's just the style that you're going for. They are a smash mouth front. Okay, don't ignore the rest of it. Ignore the reads and all that stuff. That's the speed and space. The matchups and how you exploit the matchups, that's speed and space. The front, what you're doing up front is who they are as an offense, and that is smash mouth. And that's who they've built. I mean, that's why they had Chuck Filiaga out there last year, right? The guy's huge. All right, that's why they want Zinter at center. The guy's huge. They are a smash mouth team. They built a smash mouth offensive line. If you don't run smash mouth with them, you're running the wrong thing with these guys.
Yeah. that's a really good point. I mean, when you're talking Patrick Amame, you're talking a ballet dancer running zone offense, and now you're into a whole different, more throwbacky, I guess, in some sense, sort of deal, or at least theoretically.
It's not throwback. They all run. I mean, yeah. Auburn. Yeah. I would say more like you know, more like that.
Yeah. But I was just going to say
one other note on this is the. I don't know if you've noticed the guy who's making the biggest splash in the Bengals camp right now.
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans is killing it. And they're throwing the ball to him.
Yeah, he's going to say, you said it.
Why
are you doing this, Craig?
they have a more explosive weapon than Chris Evans out of the back. Maybe two. But I know Donovan Edwards for sure is a guy who has outstanding receiver skills out of the backfield. So, hey, man, hopefully that's something that they exploit. I showed Justin Shust. He said his offensive breakout player is Cornelius Johnson. I think that's I could see that pick. I think they really expect him to build upon what he did last season. You know, they're going to be, I think they're going to be more guys that are capable of making plays for them, big plays for them. Donovan, he's certainly one of them, but we saw Roman Wilson sort of fade down the stretch. We saw AJ Henning kind of start to come to the fore, but by that time your quarterback position is battered and bruised. So those guys have some experience under their belt. Daylon Baldwin is there. You wonder how much one guy in that mix might rise up and be the guy. I still kind of think it might be committee this year. I don't know what you guys think about.
I think that's absolutely right. I think that you're not going to have one wide receiver dominate with a lot of receptions. They've got a lot of weapons. They've got a lot of weapons at running back. They got weapons at tight end. I think they've got weapons in the receiving positions. The question is, what kind of quarterback play do we get? And as you guys have pointed out, well, you know, can they piece together a coherent offensive line that has some kind of run game? And if you have some kind of run game, then other things may begin to fall into place. I mean, Michigan fans have a right to be rolling their eyes at anything we might say. I mean, what Michigan has lost six of their last eight games they've played. And I mean, and so it's hard to, you know, to know exactly what in the world is going to happen on either side of the ball, really.
I mean, they have a spring game either.
You don't have a spring game. Yeah. You know, there's no coaches clinic, so you don't.
Well, they had a spring game. They just kept us. They wouldn't let anyone see it, which. I mean, all these guys could be breakout players. Did you see that catch that AJ Henning made in the practice video that they put out? I wouldn't even bring that up except for he made a catch like that in the Penn State game too.
Right.
So, like, yeah, you know, there's another breakout potential guy. Like, there's a lot of guys on this offense that could break out because no one had a chance to last year.
And I'm confident that we will see improvement there. I don't know what to make of what we should expect from the defense. It was encouraging to hear like Ronnie Bell say, hey, when we line up, we don't know what we're going to see from a coverage perspective. Like, that's encouraging. Now, does that mean that they're going to be better? It means they'll be less predictable in their deployment. I don't know if it means they're going to be better. I think it's it's a foundation for being better. I mean, I'm curious if you guys have any deeper, greater, stronger feel for what they're going to be or what we should expect them to be defensively.
Well, I'm going to defer to Seth on this because I know nothing about defense and he does. So take it away, Seth. You tell us.
Do you remember third and Grantham? You ever heard that phrase? That it's Georgia fans that always complain that like they would give up huge plays all the time. It's going to look like that. Michigan's going to give up a lot bigger plays than we're used to. They're also going to have a lot better it's going to look like luck, I think. If it starts to actually look statistically better, it's going to look like luck. Because as Sam says, that's what the defense is based out of now. It's not about like where they're playing, right? Like people are going to start focusing on like Aiden Hutchinson's an outside linebacker. What are you doing, right? But it's not about where he lines up. It's where he ends up, right? The idea of this whole defense is you don't know who's going to be where after the snap. And that's how it's how Grantham used to play, and that's where McDonald comes out of. He came out of Georgia before he went to the Ravens. And the Ravens kind of functioned on these same principles. It's this idea of don't ever let the offense know what's coming, right? You do not want them to be able to look at a player and decide he's going to be there, so my leverage is going to be here so I can put it there. The other thing they do is they kind of like dangle spots available. Like they'll put like a nose tackle here, and nobody on either gap on either side, and then nobody till the safety behind him. And they'll be like, okay, run here. Do you remember that play Madison ran against Northwestern when we were like shutting them down? I think it was like 2013, the home game in Northwestern. Like we shut them down on third and short and fourth and short, and he did the same thing. He said, here, all these yards are yours for the taking if you get past our nose tackle. And when you're lining up, and these guys in college, they don't have very complex systems for taking advantage of what they see when they line up. So you show them something. You dangle something out there. You say, here, do you want all these yards? All you have to do is get past my nose tackle. And then the nose tackle dives this way, and two more guys dive into that gap too. And all of a sudden, you're running right into the teeth of the defense. But it's a gamble. You're going to be taking material away from other places too. So, I mean, McDonald's a first-time coordinator. I don't think he's going to make all the right gambles. I don't think he's going to be as good at it as he will be eventually in his career. And he's going to get got a few times. So there's going to be big plays that they give up, and there's going to be big plays that they create, which on aggregate is probably better than last year, where the offense could line up and be like, okay, I'm getting man against these guys, until they could line up and be like, oh, well, these guys can run the most simple high school zone ever. I know exactly where this guy's going to be, and I'm going to have my leverage right here. So I think they'll be better than last year, only because it's really hard to be worse.
All right, so you're through Hail to the Victors now. I want you to repeat how folks can get it, how they can get their hands on it, when they can get their hands on a physical copy, as well as that question came across again. But ponder this question during the break, because I feel like you're better equipped to do so now that you're through the mag. Where does Michigan finish in the East? What do you think their record will be? I understand that maybe this can change on the fly as we see them play some games. But right here, right now, what are you willing to say as far as their record, as far as their finish in the East? So ponder that during the break, but heading into the break, Seth, tell the folks about Hail to the Victory.
Just go to MGO blog. If you look on the upper right hand, you'll see a big picture of the Hail to the Victors, the magazine. It will be on Kindle hopefully this week. It takes them about like a day or two to approve it once I submit it. And it's in the MGO blog store right now if you want to get a digital copy and pre-order yourself a physical copy, which will be coming kind of right before the season. We're a little late on it for reasons that are explainable, but also, you know, we're really late on it.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, we'll get to a break. We'll get to the East finish, the season record, give you our thoughts on that when we return here. Michigan Insider, MGO Blog Roundtable, you're on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
So we didn't talk about...
We are clear on radio.
We didn't talk about the basketball recruits with what's his name?
Terrace Reed and Yaron Traore. We didn't talk about Terrace Reed. I thought
we talked about him last week.
Well, he hadn't committed yet. We really
yeah, but he committed that afternoon. We talked
that
about
afternoon.
Him.
Yeah, and
we can talk about Traore.
I'd like to talk a bit about Traore too. I mean, is he a legit for Michigan or a chance for Michigan?
Yes.
Traore is the deal.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, is he? He's French. Is that the deal?
Mm-mm. Honestly, I have not been able to keep up with basketball right now.
Okay, I know.
I'm going to do a big catch up after I get through all this. But
well, I like Terrace Reed more than Matt D does. Mm-hmm. Matt D doesn't dislike him, but
well, Matt D liked him. He felt that like Michigan did not have a shot at some of the centers that they were going after. And yeah,
like Klingon or whatever his name is.
Well, Klingon was Klingon made sense to go after because, you know, you point at Dickinson and be like, do you want to be that like guy or not, right?
Yeah, he's like a Dickinson clone.
Right, and so it was smart to go after Klingon because it was a much better fit at Michigan, but he just had a lot more people around him wanting him to go to, was it UConn? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like,
yeah,
so UConn, yeah, so Klingon, I mean, that was a decision that he made between where do my family and where do I want to be school wise and culture wise versus who is like the perfect school for me to go to for what I am. And
man, if you can get Terrace Reed and Johann Traor, which again, they have a shot, he's gonna visit.
Yeah, is Johann French? Is that right?
Yes, that's what.
And is Musa French?
Musa Giovate is French, but I don't
know. What they need to do is this. They need to change Terrace Reed's first name to Paris. They change his name to Paris Reed. They've got Musa, who's French, and we're beginning to have a kind of, you know, European French feel on the
Have a French basketball photographer, by the way.
They have a French basketball photographer, Mark Greger, right?
He is the most French person on the planet. You cannot find someone more French than Mark Greger.
Mark Greger, you know, he interviewed me for 2 hours about the Washington game which is apparently the first game he ever saw.
Uh-huh.
The one with the last second crazy kick. I'm trying to think who that was.
Brabs.
Brabs, yeah. Yeah, he interviewed me in my garage for about 2 hours on that game. I don't know what he's trying to do, some sort of a video or something.
We were putting some. That was Adam's big project.
That was Adam.
It's funny how this again. It'll be an example of falling up the stairs because Traor and Reed would be like. I don't think that they would if Klingon were out there. I don't think that they're still pursuing Klingon.
Right, because but you're right. With Terrace Reed and Johann, that's a perfect 4-5 combination. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two guys fit together. And in fact, even if Musa stays an additional year, that works fine too. Because now you've got a 3-person rotation there that really is killer.
I don't think Musa's going to stay.
It's hard to know.
I don't think that's the plan, Greg. It would be nice, but
it may not be the plan. But you just never know how things work out.
We would have to get our NIL game significantly more advanced than it is right now.
Hey, surprisingly enough, so you know, and I'll get into this on the MichiganInsider.com. But Walter Nolan's dad called me.
Oh,
and he said, "Listen, all this talk about." You know, he's going to Tennessee. He said, living in Knoxville or going to school in Knoxville does not mean he's going to Tennessee. Let me promise you. And I said, so he said, we're coming to Michigan. We aren't just coming to Michigan to visit. And said, we aren't just coming to Michigan for one game. He said, we're coming for at least two games. So it'll be a Michigan twice. Bama's still in it. He said, these are just the three schools that he's liking the most right now. They aren't his final three or the favorites overall. These are like his top three locked in. Said it's just not like that. People are overreacting. And I said, so well, what's the deal with Michigan? Where are they fading? Is it NIL? And he said, no, it is, is not right? NIL. He said, actually, Michigan's NIL game is as strong as anyone's, which just the color be shocked.
Damn, okay? That's good to hear. With that. That's great to hear.
That's good to hear. Is it our defense? Oh, no. Is it our defense? Is it because we suck?
He was an open book. So he gave me a lot At least for those who want to pay attention to the Walter Nolan recruitment, it's not for the faint of heart. Certainly not for people who can't deal with he had a top five one month, and then the next month he has a top three that includes a team that wasn't in the top five.
Yeah.
If you can't deal with those wild swings, if you need to feel like, hey, Michigan's definitely going to get a guy versus, hey, they just have a puncher's chance, that's not a recruitment you should follow because it will drive you nuts.
So I'm not supposed to watch the video right now, Sam? Because I have not watched that video.
You guys ready? Going back on the radio here. All right, Sam, count you down here in 3, 2, 1.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, my man, Anthony Sylvester, who, outstanding engineer, Michigan State fan, converted to the good side.
Well, time out, Sam.
You are. Oh, now you're backtracking? Well, now you're backtracking.
You're making it sound like I am 100% invested.
You are. You are. You said screw Michigan State.
Oh, no.
You said they're bums. You said you were abused as a child for them raising you to like the green and white. You said all of these things. Now you're backtracking?
Damn, you're putting words in my mouth, man.
You know, man, a lot of guys go that, you know, that happens all over the place in this state, right? Like you're a Michigan fan growing up and then you don't get in, you go to state. That happens a lot. And then like you're growing up Michigan State and then you get into Michigan and like, oh my God, you see how nice it is on the inside. And you're like, yeah. Why was I so angry before?
You're working at Ann Arbor Radio. You had the choice to go work for Michigan State for the Spartan Radio Network. You didn't choose that. Man. Chose the maize and blue, and it was a good choice. It was a great decision.
I will say this about Skip. He can do a great chaka, and I can't do that to save my life. I mean, and in Kona in Hawaii, if you can do a good chaka, you're the deal. I just can't do it. I mean, I can't even say, you know, you need to speak two words in Hawaiian to get by. One is how's it, and the other it's all good. And I can't even get those right, but he's got the chaka down. So he's a natural Hawaiian as far as I can tell.
Man, put me on blast this morning. Come on, man.
Making it hard on Skip to go home with the Sparties and go give it to you, man. Just blame it on me. Blame it on me.
My tour's going to blow up, Sam.
Yeah, they'll cut you some slack. Just blame it on Sam. But anyway, you can't blame the weather on me. He who authored a great deal of this year's Hail to the Victors. I was holding off asking this question for that reason, is to get through all your research for the mag. Now here we are, Seth. So put it online. Where does Michigan finish in the East? What do you think Michigan's overall regular season record will be?
Well, first of all, you should buy the book. Second of all, you don't need to buy the book to the Michigan's going to finish third in the East, because we always finish third. Even if we don't finish third, even if we tie for first in the East, they say that we finish third in the East. So Michigan's going to be third in the East forever and ever. Even when we win and we go to Indianapolis, they're going to be like, yeah, Michigan really finished third. So that's just kind of locked in. But they are. They're the third best team in the East. There's the thing about Hail to the Victors is we don't just look at, like, at our team, right? We look at the other teams and all the teams that we're playing, and there's a lot of bad out there, right? Like, we're not the only team that's struggling. We're the team that's coming off a 2-4 season, so everyone's focused on our problems. But you want to look at Penn State. Man, there's some Spider-Man pointing between us and Penn State. Like, there's a lot of bad things. They've got the number one recruit in the recruiting class in the country right now, and they're kind of, you know, talking about that right now because they don't want to talk about their football program. There's a lot of bad in that football program. Michigan State, like, there's they lost some key guys. Last year was last year. Like, if you can beat anybody if you can throw the ball over the top every single time, right? That's if you can make low percentage plays all the time. But that's the only big thing that they did other than beat Northwestern on a bad day for Northwestern. So, like, the East is just down. Like, some of the teams that are in the East, even Ohio State's defense doesn't look that good. Like, they had to kind of remake a lot of they were really stuck in that one-man high defense, too. They were really predictable last year, and they got finally when somebody had the athletes to keep up with them on offense. Their offense is incredible, and that's why they're going to win the East again. But, like, it's everyone's not as good as you think. Maryland's got lots of issues. They could come and bite you, but they also, you know, there's a lot of problems there. Rutgers went from being like awful to like, or sorry, they went from being Rutgers awful to like just awful. Which is a big step, right? That's great for Rutgers. Like, Chiano, Chiano has them, like, rolling for Rutgers. But rolling for Rutgers is still, like, bottom of the East. The only team that I think really does look solid from top to bottom in the East is Indiana, of all
Indiana.
Teams. Yeah.
You're believing that hype, and that was going to be my question. Yeah, I'm totally buying Michael Penix Jr. I think he's the best quarterback in the league. I think he's a better ball player than Graham Mertz. What say you, Craig?
Yeah, I think Penix is the best quarterback in the Big Ten this year. Mertz remains an enigma to me. I'm not sure. He might end up being a kind of middle-of-the-road quarterback. I'm not sold on Mertz yet, but I am sold on Penix. Whoever Ohio State throws out there will be good. And, you know, I don't know if you noticed this, but Michigan gets to play Brocky Lombardi again this year.
Yep.
Because he's the starting quarterback. He's the starting quarterback at NIU.
Yep.
So in game two, we'll get Rocky Lombardi again, who always to me looks like he's throwing an anvil, but somehow he managed to do it pretty well against us last year with the Ricky White kid. You know, the interesting thing to me is Michigan preseason was 8-4 in Vegas. That was the over under, and the money came in like massive on the under. And so the under now, it fell, and Vegas isn't enthusiastic like this. The under fell from 8 to 7.5, and it seems to stabilize around there. You know, in Hail to the Victors, I said Michigan would be 6-6 this year, and which wasn't a happy prediction for me to make. But now I'm sort of thinking, you know, it's never stupid to fade the public. Fading the public is always a good idea. So I think maybe we'll be over 7.5 wins. How that plays out in the Big Ten, I have no idea. I mean, I can't see us finishing ahead of Indiana or
Ohio State,
but maybe Penn State. Maybe they can flash ahead of them. But that was that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, that was the difference between 7-5 and 8-4 for me. It was Penn State. Mm-hmm.
You're right where the markets are at then, Sam, because they've stabilized at 7.5.
So. We do have to go to Penn State, and I think they said it's going to be a mini whiteout or a student whiteout. Like, they still have to white out a little bit. It's Michigan, and it's the you know, every time we face them, they're going to like make it a crazy thing. So, I think you guys are sleeping as far as second best in quarterback in the Big Ten. I think you guys are sleeping on Adrian Martinez. Nebraska.
Right.
Yeah, he's got to throw better, but he is one of the best running guys in the country as far as quarterback.
Yeah, he was like their best running back, wasn't he?
He was by far their best running back, and like he just, I went and watched the tape, and I thought that he was making. I don't think he's a very accurate thrower, but he was putting the ball where guys could make a catch, and they just were not helping him. Now I don't know if he's got the guys to help him this year either. They've got all sorts of problems in Nebraska too. But like that guy is a football player, and he can come up and bite you anytime. And I also want to say, like the quarterbacks around the league I don't believe in Mertz at all. Mertz had one great game against Illinois, right?
Yeah.
Which was Illinois, all right? Like McNamara had one great game against Rutgers. Rutgers had a terrible secondary last year. And you go around the league, there are not a lot of great quarterbacks. Like, you know, the reason we can say, like, okay, whoever Ohio State puts out there, Sean Clifford is, like, the latest third-year starter at Penn State to be broken, right? Like, go around, you can find none of these guys are that good. So the league itself is just, like, lacking good quarterbacks this year. And, you know, I think Penix, if he can stay healthy, that is the big thing, right? Because that guy has never made it through game 8.
Yeah. Justin just said as much. I agree. That is a huge, huge deal. Is set him back the last, obviously both seasons. I mean, think about Nebraska. If Wandale Robinson were going to be back,
mm-hmm.
then maybe I could, but who is he going to throw to?
That's the right? problem. I mean,
the guy is not going to last the season if he is their best running back again, in my opinion. You got to have a weapon on the outside, and his best weapon is now gone from Nebraska. That's, I guess, it's hard for me to buy anything they're selling in Cornhusker land.
Well, and you know, when you're talking about quarterback, you're also talking about the whole team. And we don't know who the quarterback at Ohio State's going to be. It's probably C.J. Stroud, but probably. And maybe the 16-year-old kid by the end of the season, because the kid Ewers skipped his senior year of high school and he's now at Ohio State. Yeah. And so, but you can't sort of take that quarterback out of the fact that that offense is going to be really good probably. And so you sort of put the blank in there at the top of the equation, Ohio State quarterback, because whoever it is probably going to be in the top two or three in the conferences, because that team is so good. It's hard to see that won't work for them.
Yeah. The most interesting thing to me is to try to figure out which two quarterbacks are going to transfer, because two quarterbacks are going to transfer.
Yeah. They're going to have guys coming out of there.
No doubt. So
well, let's be clear what Ewers is doing there. Okay. Texas would not allow him to make any NIL money, and being the quarterback at Ohio, five-star quarterback at Ohio State. Yeah. The state of Texas, when you're in high school, will not let you make any money. Mm. So
which is crazy. Right. That Texas is making that decision, right?
It's like, right. Yeah. Well, got it. They have Texas is like a little mini NCAA in their high school football. But yeah, but that's why he's coming out right now. I don't think he was expecting to start this year. I think he was looking at, here's how much money I make if I'm at Ohio State this year. Here's how much money if I'm a quarterback in Texas this year. And I think that he surprised them so late that I don't think that he was really in their plans this year anyway.
Yeah, it sort of complicates the picture for them a little bit. I think they would have preferred, this is just speculation on my part, preferable if he would have come out in his year. Maybe if Kyle McCord rises up and is the guy, you can stagger him a bit, right? You can have a little distance between Ewers and McCord in a way that would allow them to potentially keep both of them. I don't think there's any way Kyle McCord and Quinn Ewers are both Buckeyes past a year at most two from now. One of those guys is going to be out of there, in my opinion.
Yeah, Hassan Hall makes a good point that he's almost 19 years old. So, like, this is a kid who already, you know, changed his grade a few times in order to, like, you know, look a little bit more, a little hot beyond the kids in his grade. So, I mean, he's physically ready. I don't care about hashtag Buckeye problems. Like, right.
Hell, it's a good freaking problem to have.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh no, we've got the
we got too many quarterbacks.
The first overall five-star from next year reclassified into this year, which means our five-star this year now feels like he's under too much pressure. Oh no! And our five-star from 2 years ago was going to start. Oh no!
That's what happens when you have the depth chart, the depth chart deterrent isn't as strong, because this absolutely has been the case that JJ McCarthy has affected quarterback recruiting for Michigan. His presence has affected quarterback recruiting for Michigan. But Michigan is also, you know, they haven't won like Ohio State. So you don't have as many guys willing to look past that as you have with Ohio State. It doesn't mean Ohio State's going to be able to keep those guys. It just means they have the luxury of having a very good problem on their hands. Like, hey, you know, we'll keep the two best guys out of four guys that were really highly regarded.
Yes. And the third guy can come here, and we got a nice Lululemon contract sitting out there for him, right?
Don't sit on Lululemon.
I know you wanted to talk Johan Treor, so we will save the Johan Treor discussion for next week. I was bullish on them making this move. It was noteworthy to me that Saadi and Howard Eisley and Phil Martelli were at the NBA Players Association Top 100 camp, and Johan Treor sort of put the exclamation point on his summer with a very strong showing. And that, to me, that was all about, can he play with Terrace Reed? And I think
no question
was in my mind, the final piece to the puzzle, them seeing him at that camp.
No question in my mind. Johan Treor to me is a five-star. He's definitely a top 25. I love Terrace Reed also, but we can talk more about him next time. But I think what Michigan's doing in basketball looks completely, aside from being successful, completely rational in terms of how they're constructing their roster. So,
gentlemen, you're my guys. One more time, real quick, Seth, tell them about Hail to the Victors.
Just if you go to the mgoblogstore.com, you can find it. Or if you go to mgoblog right now, you can find it. We have a PDF version available right now. You can pre-order the print copy, and I will have the Kindle edition up soon. I'm going to go and work on that as soon as we get off the radio here.
All right. Folks, thanks a lot for your time. Appreciate you. Back tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.